Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. How many ready to hear the word of God? Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I have to be careful with that. Last time I started singing my sermon, I sang the whole sermon. I was in a conference in Nova Scotia, and I sang my whole sermon, and then for 2 hours, I sang prophecies over people. So I got stuck. Even when I tried to stop singing, I kept singing. It was crazy stuff. But that was fun. It was peculiar, but it was fun, and it was anointed, and it was good. All right, we're going to start a series on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit all the way up through the day of Pentecost. On Pentecost is the Sunday that we have our world conference here. Our national conference is here. Amen. I call forth the world conference too. Our national conference will be here on Pentecost Sunday, and I will be preaching on the Naturally Supernatural Church that Sunday to the leaders of the Apostolic Church in Canada and beyond. Many other leaders coming in, because many other leaders are looking at the unique and wonderful peculiar relationship in this apostolic fellowship, and they want some. So we're thankful that God's breathing on what we're doing nationally as well, and it's good. But I want to talk to you today about Holy Spirit. We're going to continue to talk about Holy Spirit, and we're going to get you more acquainted with Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Okay, you need a living, working relationship. You need a living, working, personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about truth. We talked about the Spirit of truth. We talked to a graduating class who had achieved and got knowledge and revelation by the Spirit, but we wanted the anointing of the Spirit. Jesus opened their minds. Can you imagine what that would feel like? What that would be to have Jesus open your mind to understand all Scripture? He opened their mind to understand all Scripture, and then he said, wait until you're clothed with power from on high. It's not enough to have even supernatural, spiritual, biblical revelation. You need that to be released in and through you by the anointing of the Spirit of God. You need to be fully yielded to the person of the Spirit to function in the purposes of God. You need to have a living, breathing, personal, working relationship with Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7, it said, "It is to your advantage that I go away." And then there's several verses after there. These are great teachings of Jesus. He taught them when he was there in the upper room teaching his disciples before he was crucified. And he said, "It is to your advantage that I go away." Now here's the disciples. They got Jesus with them. They're experiencing incredible times of ministry. He gave them authority, and they saw incredible things happen when he gave them authority. But he said, "Listen, it's to your advantage. Even that experience you had where I gave you the authority to operate, it's better for me to go away, because when I go, I will send you the comforter, the helper. I will send you the one who makes it happen. And not only will you have authority to do it, but you'll have the same power to do it that I did. It's advantageous for you that I go away, because I will send him to you, not to the world, not to the atmosphere, but I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And you will not only have authority, but you will receive dunamis power from on high to manifest the kingdom of God. It is advantageous, it is your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And that's where we ministered last week. We said, however, when he comes, he, the Spirit of truth comes, it's personified, it's personal. He, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus literally said, "I'm going to send you another helper." There's two words for another. There's allos and there's heteros. Heteros would be similar, but allos would be exactly the same. So Jesus said, "I'm not sending you a similar comforter. I'm sending you the exact same comfort that I have been to you. The exact same comfort will come to you. Everything I have been to you will come to you. There is another person coming who is just exactly the same as me. But when this person comes, he won't just be with you. He will be in you. And he will be in all of you. And he will fill all of you with this same wonderful anointing. And as I was with you, he will be with you. He will be in you. You will not be orphans, but you will be sons and daughters operating in the kingdom and manifesting the nature of God because you are sons and daughters of God. So the Spirit of God was sent, and he is allos, not heteros. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Say Holy Spirit. How many think that's an awkward name for somebody? I really think that Holy Spirit is more a function. You've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God. But how many wish that Holy Spirit was named Fred? I want to introduce you to Fred. Jesus is going, but Fred's coming. And Fred's just like me, but Fred's got some crazy powers. He won't just be locally with you. He can be in you, and he can be in all of you at the same time, manifesting the power of God. When Fred comes knocking on the door, open the door to Fred, let him in, and he's going to be with you all the time. Every day of your life, you will have Fred with you. And if you're, you know, high church or more conservative, Frederick will be there. If you're charismatic and a little crazy and woo, it's Freddy. Whatever works for you. But sometimes I think it would be easier if it was just Fred. I said to Cheryl, wouldn't it be easier if Holy Spirit was Fred? And she went, what? I don't know, sometimes Holy Ghost, you know. And, you know, I had somebody who grew up in our church, was a pastor's son in our organization. He heard me preach like 20 years ago on the person of the Holy Ghost. And he came up after the meeting to correct me and say, he's not a person. What are you talking about? It's that warm, ooey-gooey feeling that comes every once in a while. Sometimes he's here. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he drops in. Sometimes he's away. Sometimes it fills the room when we sing, sometimes it doesn't. And you see, we have a weird mindset of who Holy Spirit is if we think sometimes he's here and sometimes he isn't. If we think he's that warm, gooey, fuzzy feeling that comes every once in a while, then we will not experience the fullness of it because our understanding of him is screwed up. He's here right now. He's with you right now. We sang songs today about he will never leave you. He'll always be there. He'll never forsake you, but Fred is with you always. How many just felt that Fred thing? That actually works for me. Well, let's ask him. Holy Spirit, does Fred? No, no, okay, no, no, no. He wants to be Holy Spirit. So it's just, I was just trying to be helpful. Okay, thank you. Holy Spirit, but he is a person. Acts chapter 10, 19, it says, while Peter thought about the vision, he had this supernatural vision he got caught up in. While he was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Holy Spirit said to him, Fred said, Holy Spirit said, behold, three men are seeking you. I mean, right there, he's caught up in vision. All of a sudden, Holy Spirit says, hey, Peter, there's three guys seeking you. They're going to knock on the door in a minute. Oh, thanks, Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Holy Spirit's a person. Just like I'm a person. He's a person. How many are having a hard time with that? How many don't want to admit it? Holy Spirit, well, what constitutes a person, Pastor? Well, you know, I looked that up. A lot of definitions about person. One definition was it's a living being. Oh, it's something that's living. Oh, then he's an oak tree. Oak trees are living, but oak trees are not people. But I think some people would have a, you know, they would think the Holy Spirit is as much an oak tree in their life. It's some little thing I visit once in a while. No, he's a person. Not a living thing. He's a living person. It also says that a person, the composite of characteristics that make up an individual personality, the self. Personality. What's personality? Personality is the pattern of collective character, behavior, temperamental, emotional, and mental traits of a person or a soul. How you doing? All right, I'm going to take a big leap now. Real simple definition. A person is a soul. Has personality, can manifest itself as a living soul. God, three attributes of God, many, many attributes of God, but let's look at just three. God is omniscient. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the most incredible community that exists, the most glorious, beautiful relationship that exists, and you have been invited into that community. Amazing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are omniscient, they are omnipotent, and they are omnipresent. They have omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. Just three attributes, but these are interesting attributes because omniscience means they have all knowledge, omnipotent means there is all power, and omnipresence means that they are all present. Hallelujah. You got somebody who is local, who is personal, who is in you, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. Even if you don't get it, say amen. That's some good stuff right there. All right, so omniscience means all knowledge. All knowledge, you know, it means there's thinking. It means there's some mind stuff going on there. It means if you're thinking and you know stuff, there's mind. If there's omnipotence, there's power. That means there's desires, and that means there's an exercising of will. There's things, there's influence, there's things that I desire to exercise and influence and be powerful about. There's also omnipresence, which manifests this whole aspect of presence. Have you ever said, I feel God's presence? Have you ever felt that I feel the joy of the Lord? I just feel happy right now because I feel God's presence here. Have you ever had somebody taste and see the Lord is good? You see, when he's omnipresent, that means that an experience with God will affect your senses, and there are senses in the Godhead. Have you ever heard saying your spiritual ears need to be open? Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Not talking about ears on the side of your head, talking about ears in the spirit. You have spiritual senses. It says, I want you to see. I want you to see in the spirit. I want you to see things. You have spiritual, it says, taste and see the Lord is good. You can feel. You ever said, I felt God. Have you ever felt God? I was in a meeting and I felt God. You see, God is present. God is, and when he comes, you can feel him. You can experience him. You can have a conversation with him. He can speak to you, and you can step into the realm of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. We need to know this. Very, very important. What is a soul, Pastor? What is a living soul? A soul has mind, will, and emotions. A soul has the ability to think. It has the ability to have desires. And has the ability to express feelings. That's what a soul is. God can think. He has desires. And he has feelings. Well, that's all strange. Pastor, help me some more. All right. Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. This is the Father speaking over his Son. He said, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. How many want to get biblical? Sometimes to get biblical, you've got to deal with your false concepts and traditions. How many can say change? Truth never changes. Truth is truth. But if you think your concept of it is complete and you know everything, you're dangerous. You need to come into truth. How many know I could learn more? Thank you. That's awesome. See that? I could. I'm always learning. I love learning. Hallelujah. All right. So let's, well, Jesus, Matthew 26, verse 38. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then he said to them, Jesus said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. Jesus talked about his soul. He said, my soul is sorrowful, even unto death. Now, he wouldn't tell you something that's not true. He was saying right there, the whole redemption process is beginning right now. The pressure on me right now is killing me. The pressure I am feeling right now literally is unto death. Jesus wasn't trying to get some sympathy or make them feel miserable. He was saying death is working right now. It's attacking me right now. I am being poured out right now. The sorrow that I am feeling right now is unto death. Pray with me. He had that. He had emotions. He had thoughts, all those things, desires, feelings. Jesus, it says, if you see Jesus, Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. I and the Father are one. The word says in Hebrews that Jesus is the exact. He's exact. What you want to see the Father, you see Jesus. It's exactly the same. Exactly the same. In Hebrews chapter 10, 29 and then 28, it talks about the writer is talking about. And how many know who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He used men. They were carried along by the Spirit of God, and they were used as an instrument to write the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, now speaking through the Hebrew writer, he was saying this, that when you don't press in, this is in the New Testament, when you're not pressing in and exercising your faith and operating in what God has fully manifest for you, if you're not fully embracing the inheritance that you have right now, you're insulting the Spirit of grace. You are insulting. You will insult the Spirit of grace. How many know you can insult the Spirit? How many know some of you have? How many know I have? He's the best friend I could ever have. And yet I've insulted him. But he still loves me. I'm still valued in his eyes. I'm still absolutely, totally worthy. And my salvation is not in jeopardy. And he's still committed to plan A in my life. But don't go through this deception that I've never offended him. I've never done anything wrong. You're totally worthy, totally loved, totally righteous, totally set free in him. Doesn't mean you're totally free from being a goof up and insulting him. Or this would be a mute comment. It would be really stupid for Paul to write, "Don't grieve the Spirit." Well, Paul, we can't grieve the Spirit, man. I'm totally in Christ. You can't grieve the Spirit, man. Well, Paul, who wrote, "You're in Christ," says, "Don't grieve the Spirit." Hello. This is good, Pastor. Man. All right. That's some good stuff right here. He insult the Spirit of grace. Now look, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul, and in the context, we're talking about the Holy Ghost, says my soul will have no pleasure in him. That's interesting. My soul will have no pleasure in him. Wow. Pretty interesting stuff. All right, let's go. Number one, the Holy Spirit thinks. I'll let you write that down. Number one, the Holy Spirit thinks. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you got your Bibles, you should turn there. I've just put a little portion on the screen, but I want to read from 10 to 16. The Holy Spirit thinks, all right? But God has revealed them, what? All these wonderful, glorious promises. He's revealed all the great things God has done for us. He's revealed them to us through his Spirit. If these things are revealed through his Spirit, how many people think we should know the Spirit? Two people. Good. God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him, which means you don't know what I'm thinking unless I tell you. That's what the Bible says about another person. I know what you're thinking. No, you don't. But who knows the thoughts of a man unless a man reveal them? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of him who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. So not only has God given us all kinds of wonderful things, but he's given us his Spirit, and his Spirit can fathom out all the deep things of God. The Spirit knows every single thing because the Spirit is God, and he is sent to reveal everything that God has freely given you. And you've got the Spirit of God, who is a thinking God, who wants to tell you all the thoughts of God, and he knows everything. And he is with you every day, and all you've got to do is say, "What do you think about this?" And he will tell you. Wouldn't you love to have a direct line to the most brilliant, genius person in the world on every subject ever? "I'd like to call a friend, please." You literally have that. The person of Holy Ghost is always ready to pick up the phone and say, "I got the answer." Your excitement is intoxicating. Verse 13. All right, verse 13. "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who can know the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" That's a rhetorical question. But listen to this now. "But we have the mind of Christ. We have the anointed mind, that supernatural mind of Christ, the Spirit of God. Literally, we are hooked up with Him. We have the capacity to understand. We have the capacity to understand the deep things of God. He has qualified us to do that. You can know the thoughts of God. And if you don't know it, you can hook up to Him. And any moment of the day, He can tell you exactly what is going on in your situation. You can be in an exam. I forgot the equation of this. Oh my goodness. I wish I could ask the teacher, but he won't let me ask him in the middle of the test. I've studied this. I know I studied this. Why am I so anxious? What's going on? Teacher, I know I learned this. You saw me learning it. I asked you to help me. I need that equation to come back to me right now. E equals MC squared. Einstein had an IQ of 209, a couple points above me. I don't even get the laughter, but okay. Shh, that's enough. Did you know that God doesn't even have an IQ? An IQ is an intelligent quotient, which means you have to measure it. Can't measure His IQ. Can't measure the realm of His intelligence. There's no chart. There's no graph. There's nothing. I mean, I'm not just hooked up to the smartest guy in the universe. I'm hooked to the guy who knows every single thing there is. Don't you wish this was true? You're acting like it's just, yeah, whatever. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt at the last conference. Woo! I tell you, the person of the Holy Ghost with you, and He knows everything, and He wants to manifest it to you, and you just literally got to learn real quick to say this. Hey, Holy Ghost, what do you think? Sometimes we get too full of fret. Fret? Anybody been full of fret? Fret is kind of like Fred, but it's a different spirit. Fret is the antichrist of Fred. You get full of anxiety, you get full of stuff, your circumstances are screaming, and you know what? You just got to stop and go, hey, Holy Spirit, what do you think? And He'll tell you. He will lead you into all truth. Oh, just spiritual stuff though, eh, Pastor? Like, don't get people all wigged out. Like, could He tell us, like, should I buy that stock or not? Like, is He even interested in the stock market? Yes. What about the lottery? Could you give me the numbers tomorrow? That would be rare. Because He doesn't like you gambling. Might happen. And if it does happen, don't forget to tithe. Hallelujah. Okay, turn to your neighbor and smile. Good, good. They received the word cheerfully. Some of you are looking kind of sad. It's not a sad word. All right, so come on. All right, I'm going to move on really quickly now. You ready? Now, point number two, there's only three. Holy Spirit has a will. Acts chapter 16, 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden. That word forbidden also means to exert your will. They were forbidden. How many have ever had the Holy Spirit forbid you? How many have just never, ever done anything? All right, so literally, and it doesn't mean forever, because they did go to Asia, we know they did. But on this occasion, the Holy Spirit went, no, don't go there. We're going to go over here. Oh, thank you. And you know what? You got to pay attention. Because the night before, they thought, we're going to go here. Let's get a good night's sleep, fellas. We're headed here. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes, no, you're not going. I forbid you. Oh, those are strong words, Holy Ghost. I hate it when you talk to me like that. And Jesus was so nice all the time, except to Peter. He, you know. He called Peter the devil once. That was rough. He said, get behind me, Satan. Remember that? Yeah, that was rough. But the Holy Spirit said, you're forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So He will. Listen. The Holy Spirit will reveal the will of God to you because He is God. Amen? Carly, could you ask your mom what she wants for lunch? No. Carly said, actually? But how weird would that be if I kept on asking somebody else, what does my wife want? What do you think Cheryl would like? What's Cheryl's favorite color, Sharon? What is the will of Cheryl? Green? It might be red. Likes red shoes. You know that. But how dumb would it be for... But here's a lot of people. You know what people ask me? The number one question preachers get asked? What's the will of God for my life? Why don't you talk to God? But you see, we got a lot of creepy pastors. Not me. I'm talking about other pastors. We got some pastors who think my job is to tell you what God's will is. And you know what? Don't do anything unless I say so. And I'm going to tell you this, tell you that. Da, da, da. You know what? I think you're smart enough to get hooked up with Jesus because he created you. And it says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow the pastor. No, they follow me. You know, my job is to make sure you're hearing his voice. It's not to hear for you. And it's really, really silly to be running around. I need a prophetic word. I need to know what to do with my life. You know what prophecy should do? It should cause you to have a hunger for the voice of God yourself. Not to have a hunger for the prophetic, but to have a hunger for you to hear the voice of God. Did you get that from God? Yes, I did. Could I do that? No, only special people get this. No, prophet should be, yes, you can hear his voice too. See, the prophetic is an equipping ministry. What do they equip you to do? To hear the voice of God. And you know what? You can hear the will of God, and the Holy Spirit is your best friend. And the Holy Spirit's not going to say, call the pastor, find out the will of God for your life. And if you don't like what the pastor said, go to another church. Find out what that pastor says. And if you don't like what he said, stay home, because nobody knows. I'm in community not because I need a pastor to tell me what to do. I'm in community because I need to grow up in community. It's God's will for me to be in community. And I'm in this place because I grow up and I share and I minister one to another. And I need somebody to serve and love on. Thank you, Pastor. But the Holy Spirit, you know what? He will reveal the will of God. So ask him what he wants to do. I got to move on. Number three, the Holy Spirit has emotions. Let me give you the most recognizable emotions of the Holy Spirit. You ready? Here they are, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there's no law. You know what you'll most feel whenever the Holy Spirit's around? Love. You know what you'll most hear whenever you talk to the Holy Spirit? Love. You know the most common answer that you should always get when you say, Holy Ghost, what do you think about me? I love you. Oh, wow. That is the biggest revelation I have ever shared in my life. God loves you. Now, I can see in the spirit many of you are leaping and jumping and running around the room. That's awesome stuff, eh? So this is walking in the Spirit. This is being led by the Spirit. But, you know, the Spirit also has some other emotions. Let me give you a few others. You ready? In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says that we can literally quench the Spirit. We can quench him. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it also says it says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did too, so do you do. Isn't that crazy that I can resist the Spirit? The God who created all things, who with a word just says, let there be, I can say, stop. You can resist the Spirit. That's crazy, but you can. You also, in Isaiah, talks about vexing the Spirit. They rebelled, they vexed. Has anybody been vexed lately? Let's use that in a sentence this week. Took so long to get this coffee, I'm vexed. Then you know what the person at the counter says? You should be more patient. Oh, so a lot of my vexing is due to my impatience. Yes. That was a word for somebody. I saw you this morning in the Tim Hortons drive-thru. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Then the guy dropped his change out the window and you're like, oh. He's pulling up, walking back, picking up the pennies. You're like, Cheryl, I'm going to run him over. I'm just going to take him out. And that's what my wife says, patience. I'm like, ugh. Holy Spirit so often speaks through my wife, it's wrong. Holy Spirit, you speak to me yourself, don't use her anymore. I know you like using her, but it irritates me. Just saying. All right, okay. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're getting there. Say we're getting there. I'm getting vexed at the pastor right now. Patience. All right. Ephesians 4, verse 25. This is important stuff right here. Listen now, listen. Some of you might have a heading right above this section of Scripture. What's the heading say? Don't be shy. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That's the heading. Some of your Bibles. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We are members of one another. You belong to me. You belong to me, and I belong to you. Okay, I'll finish that song later. You belong to me. We are members one of another. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down in your wrath. Be angry at the devil. Do not relax your grip on him. Crush him at every opportunity. Be angry and don't sin by letting the sun go down in your anger. If you're angry at him, stay angry until you get the job done. That's a weird translation. That's actually the right translation. Some people go, if you're mad, don't go to bed mad. That's not what it means. A lot of silly teachings on that stuff. But how many know I just delivered you? Get mad at the devil when he tries to mess up things in your life. Get mad at him. Don't relax your grip on him. Don't even let the sun go down in your wrath. Let it be red hot until you have annihilated him from your life. That's the proper reading of the word. All right. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, and he may have something to give him who is in need. Come on, I'd like to give in the offering. Well, get your hands busy. Let not those corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification and to impart grace to your hearers. And is a conjunction. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. So wonder, what grieves the Holy Spirit? All that stuff in there that I just read, except the last verse, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even God has forgiven you. It grieves the Holy Spirit when you behave like that stuff. What is lying? Have you ever been born again, a born-again Christian, and you still told a little white lie to somebody? You ever stretched the truth a little? That's sin. You ever been bitter with somebody and held an offense for a little while? That's sin. Oh, man, a sin message. Holy cow, I haven't heard one for a long time. You should never have a sin consciousness, but sometimes, as a believer, God wants to talk to you about your current misbehavior. And you should have many talks with the Holy Spirit as he's teaching you and helping you change those attitudes and heart conditions that he's delivering you from. Does it mean that I'm no longer a son? No, you're totally a son. Listen to this. Listen. Listen now. Listen. I buried my aunt on Tuesday. I was there with the rest of my family. And I saw the immediate family there. And they'd just seen their mom pass away. I really did. This is not a story. This is true. But we were there, and I noticed several of them, some of the grandkids, very moved, very sad. Now, the interesting thing about the time we spent together, we ate food, we had fun, we laughed, we talked about all kinds of things, and we cried. We laughed because we have absolute peace. We know Aunt Dorothy is with the Lord, and we know that she wanted to be with him because she wanted to be back with Phil, and she just didn't understand why the rest of her friends were dying, and Jesus didn't want to take her home. Said, what's the matter with me? So she said, skip the doctor. I'm going to eat salt. So, anyways, I love salt. Anyway, but what are you talking about, Pastor? Where'd you go here? Grieving has to do with grief. And when you grieve the Spirit, you create a realm of grief. Why do people enter into grief? Did you know that you cause the Spirit of God to enter into grief? So what happens in grief? Why are my family grieving? They're not grieving because they've lost the relationship with their mother. They've lost their identification with their mother. They've lost their inheritance with their mother. They have not lost anything at all with their mother. They know their mother is in glory. They know their mother is with their father. And they're thrilled about that. They haven't lost anything. They know that as an absolute fact. But here's the grief. I miss her because we are intimately separated. Boom. You mess around like this with other people, you cloud your relationship with the Holy Spirit. You're still a child of God. You're still worthy, you're still valued, and all that stuff. But right now, your intimacy level with him, he's literally gone, oh, boy. Well, I don't like that teaching. Well, then you don't like the Bible. Page to page, the whole thing. Now, why am I telling you that? Because I don't want you to grieve the Spirit. And you know what? You wonder why there's no flow, there's no peace, there's, you know, I'm a believer and it's not working. Every time I talk to you, you're backstabbing somebody. Every time I talk to you, you're bitter about stuff. We keep on going around the same little issue in your life and you keep on telling me you're free and you're not. What are you doing? Wow. Could hear a crane drop in this place. That was good, Pastor. My goodness. Okay. All right. Here we go. I'm going to help you with this very fast. Very fast, Pastor. All right. I want to talk to you about a guy who accepted Jesus as a personal Savior and got baptized in water, but he thought the Holy Ghost was some power that he could entertain or twist or manipulate. I want to tell you about a guy who did that. And I want to tell you what the apostle said to him was the problem in his life. A born-again believer baptized in water who wanted to manipulate the Holy Spirit and did not know he was a person that he had to be in a relationship with. All right, you ready? How many think this would be helpful? All right, let's go to Acts chapter 8 really quick. They're on the screen. You can read more of it later. Read the whole passage, all right? But Philip goes there, miracles, signs, wonders. Simon, he was a sorcerer, he was into witchcraft. He gets hooked up in the revival. He's following, Philip around. He loves it. Simon himself believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed at the miracles and the signs that were done. Now the apostles come, and lay their hands on people, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Philip was amazed by the signs, the wonders, the miracles. Simon was amazed by all that stuff, amazing stuff, but Simon was not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost. When the apostles came, they laid hands on them, and the signs and the wonders were cool, and he was amazed by those, but now this was really amazing. This was bigger than a miracle. This was bigger than a sign or a wonder. This was bigger than anything Philip had done. The apostles laid their hands on them. The Holy Ghost came on people, and Simon the sorcerer said, man, what Philip did was cool, but what you guys are doing, I would pay for. All right? Go back. Can I go back to that last one for a second? That last screen? Okay. Oh, sorry, go back to the next one. Okay, right there. All right. He continued, Philip was amazed. Look at the bottom now. This is verse 23. Here's what the apostle said to Simon. He said, now what you've done, he said, you be cursed, and your desires and your money perish with you. Pretty serious rebuke at a revival. All right. And then he says, why is this attitude in your life? For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and you are bound by iniquity. Wow, are you guys ever quiet? This is good, hey? See, now here's a problem with somebody who toys around with the power of God, but is not walking with the person of God and has issues in their life that they're not dealing with. All right, what happens is it says you're poisoned by bitterness. What does bitterness do? It causes poison. Bitterness poisons you. If you don't deal with it, it poisons you. Wow, Pastor, the service started off so happy. I want you to be happy all the time. You know, bitterness will poison you. And he literally said, you behaved like you did, and you responded to the Holy Spirit like you did because you're poisoned by bitterness. And then he said, you're bound by iniquity. Now, iniquity is different from sin. Sin is an act. Iniquity is the root cause. See, in iniquity, people, you can be free from sin, but sometimes you need to deal with the issues that are still kind of in your heart, and some unresolved conflict in your life. Well, I don't believe that. You're manifesting it. So anyways, iniquity. You see, it's like this. It's like people have sexual issues and they're looking to gratify themselves with other people in other relationships. Why? The root cause is rejection. They've experienced a lot of rejection in their life and they're looking for affection of others to value themselves. You're valued in God. He dealt with your rejection at the cross. You need to be free from that. Some, it's a straight up spirit of lust. And there's iniquity in your life. And that unresolved iniquity manifests itself in acts of sin. You're a believer. Your status as a believer is not in jeopardy here, or is that even the issue? But walking in the power of God and walking in the fullness of God and fully expressing all that you are and having a personal relationship with the person of the Holy Ghost, which is why we're teaching this. Holy Ghost is a person. You can screw up that relationship. Oh, you can't grieve the Holy Spirit. That's wrong. He already said you could. Stop it. Honestly, and it may be funny, but it's really not with some people. They don't get it. Okay. All right, let's go on. Give me one more slide there. A couple more. We're going to be done. Simon reduced the Holy Spirit to some vague influence, power he wanted to control. You can't manipulate or control the Spirit of God. You must have a personal relationship with him. He is God in you, manifesting in you the life and the purpose of God. The Holy Spirit is God in you, living in you, manifesting the life, the power, and the purpose of God. Can I get an amen? All right? So don't let your personal relationship with the person of the Holy Ghost get messed up. And you don't have to do that. That's why we do things where there's times we do pray further for people. There's people who aren't manifesting a healing. We may pray further because we may need to deal with a root issue. That's why we do have things. We do spiritual cleansing things. Like that. Are you saying I wasn't fully born again? No, you're totally fully born again. But we got to deal with some root issues in your life that are still screaming in the background of your memories and your mind. And we got to deal with some issues. And it's okay. Totally okay. I've had to deal with lots of stuff. Lots of stuff. Holy cow. To be absolutely honest with you. How many want to hear more? Well, there was that time, you know, not way back, but in 2012. There's times I've got really bitter. There's times I've felt incredibly hurt. And instead of turning that hurt to the Lord, I've allowed myself to be hurt. And I thought that I was entitled to be hurt. Because, you know, it really hurt. I ain't hurt for a while. I'm too proud to let anybody know. I'm going to let it hurt underneath. I've had to be delivered from stuff like that and freed from stuff like that. Because I realized Holy Spirit's going, you're having a really hard time getting stuff done because of your attitude. I went, oh, yeah. I really want to serve you. And not like that. Really? Yeah. Because you know what you'll do? You'll minister frustration. You'll minister hurt and pain. And I want you to be a free vessel flowing with the goodness of God. How many are feeling me today? All right. Another slide. I think we got one more, and we're going to pray for you. All right? Well, we did that already. Let's go past that one. Thank you. Appreciate that. Right there. That's the last one. You need to have a living, working, personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's a person. He loves you. He's nuts about you. And right now, even if you talk to him and say, what do you think about me? You know what he's going to say? I love you. And I love you too much to leave you like you are. All right, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Or for some of you, open your eyes. Sorry. I was going to say close your heads, open your eyes. But anyway, yes. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Here, listen to me now. Listen, everybody in the room, listen, listen. God loves you. You're here today because he loves you. You're here today because you heard his voice. There's no other reason for you to be in this place and worship God and experience this than the fact that he's drawn you, and it's him who loves you with an everlasting love. And you know, if you don't know him as your personal Savior today, don't leave here without knowing that. So please listen. I can lead you to a knowledge of salvation right now today, and we can do that. And you can leave here knowing that he is your Lord and your Savior. Now, if you don't know him as your Lord and your Savior, I'm just going to count to three. One, two, three. And what I want you to do is at three, if you don't know him, I want you to put your hand up. All right? And what you're saying is, pray for me, Pastor. I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. All right, you ready? All around, right now. It's the Holy Ghost working on your heart right now. That's what you're feeling. Now listen, you ready? One, two, three. Just lift your hand right now. Lift your hand right up, right up. Lift your hand right up, all the way up. You got to lift it just a little higher. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. Anyone else right now? I'll even do the three for you. Ready? One, two, three. I want you to know Jesus. He loves you so much. Hey, guys, can you all stand up? We're all going to pray together. You folks put their hands up, and they want to know Jesus. So I want you all to pray with me and with them, and they're going to pray with you. So pray this with me. Come on, say it out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you that your blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. All offense is removed, and I'm a child of God. My sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. I am a child of God. Thank you for coming into my heart. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a few of you did that, and you know, I want you to talk to somebody. Somebody may come and talk to you before you go, but it's because we want you to not just make a decision. We want you to grow in your full understanding of this wonderful, wonderful gospel that is yours. All right? Now, I want you to bow your heads one more time. So I feel the anointing here. And you know what? This may not feel like a big revival breakout moment, but it's one of the biggest ones I've been in a long time right now. Because there's a spirit here that's ready to change your life, and it's Holy Spirit, and he loves you. And some of you know that he has spoken to you clearly, and even on the window of your own mind, he has shown you roots and issues today that you're wondering why it's been hard for you to pursue that intimacy. And he's shown you things they're saying. These are kind of issues. And he loves you and he wants to deal with it today because he loves you. He wants to walk so intimately with you. Because everything for him to walk intimately with you is already done. You've just got to walk in it. All right? Right now, in Jesus' name. Now, really, I do really want you to bow your heads and not look around. All right? Now, you're here today and you know that something got touched in your life today. You know you need to deal with. There's nobody else looking around or you. But you need to be honest with God. It's okay. And this is the most loving, wonderful thing. But this can cause a real breakout in your life in a fresh way. So if that's you, just put up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me before you go. Yeah. Yeah. Is that your hand up too, Pastor? Oh, my goodness. Even pastors got issues. The worst pastor is the one who don't know they got issues. Okay, put your hands down. Well, Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your goodness to us. And I do thank you that you take us from glory to glory. You take us from new levels of freedom to new levels of freedom. You lead us ever increasingly into the light of your goodness. And the more we pursue you, the more we come close to you, the more we enter the fire, the things that get burnt off in the refining fire, the things that get removed are the things that you never created, but other people tried to attach to who I am, and you didn't put that there. So I run full out into the blazing glory and goodness of you, that I might really know you and really be known as I really am. And thank you for the freedom to do that and the love to do that, because you're so very, very good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for each one here right now. It is right now in the name of Jesus, just each one delivered right now from any thought, from any condemnation, from any of that at all. It will not shape us at all, but we thank you for freedom now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, just touch us afresh. Anoint my head with fresh oil right now. In Jesus' name, amen.